You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Miami's got the Dolphins,
the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. Hello, Dolphin fans. You are listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. I'm your host, Steve Amasso, on this Wednesday, May 26th. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be discussing the Dolphins meeting with a linebacker, that linebacker being Melvin Ingram. We're also going to be discussing some of the notes from the press conferences with the coaches over the past few days. They've been raving about one rookie in particular. They've also discussed the playbook and other things, so that's going to be discussed in today's episode. Le'Veon Bell commented on an Instagram post about the Dolphins. Could that mean that Le'Veon Bell is interested in joining the Miami Dolphins? Would it make sense? That is all going to be discussed in today's episode. But first, we will begin with the news that free agent, longtime Los Angeles Charger, that being Melvin Ingram, met with the Dolphins yesterday. So that, of course, is huge news. And not only that, but he's actually been in Miami training with none other than Miami Dolphins cornerback Xavien Howard. So that is all very telling about him potentially signing with the Dolphins. So would I be in favor of getting Melvin Ingram? Yes. There are some negatives that you have to note here for sure. He is 32 years old. He is definitely a veteran. He dealt with injuries a lot last year. He was on the injury reserve twice during the duration of last season, both times with the knee injury led to him having his least productive season. Only 10 tackles on the season, did not record a single sack. But if you look back to 2019 and 2018, 7 sacks both year. And even if you're bringing in Melvin Ingram, I don't think you're bringing him in with the expectation that he's going to be on the field just nonstop across the board. He's going to be somebody that's mixed in there on some sort of rotation. And I think that's still going to give him a large enough of an opportunity where he could have an impact. Again, being 32 years old, being a veteran, he could have something to teach some of the younger guys on this team. I think he would be a valuable guy to bring in here. I'm in favor of it, and it wouldn't cost too much. Overall, I would not be shocked if this happens, and I'm kind of leaning towards the expectation that it will happen, if you're asking me again personally. Now, to talk about the next free agent here that could potentially end up with the Dolphins, it's longtime Steeler, also a legend from that Adam Gase system in New York, Le'Veon Bell. Now, of course, I'm joking with that last part. He most recently played for the Kansas City Chiefs, and there is the potential now that he could be ending up with the Dolphins. Why people are thinking this is because there was an Instagram post where an account was just publishing and noting the acquisitions that the Dolphins have made throughout the course of the offseason. The caption was that the Dolphins made a splash, and Le'Veon Bell commented on it and said, yes, indeed. Of course, this is a guy that has lived in Miami. He's been practicing all throughout the offseason, and it seems like he spends a lot of time here. There were the reports before that he was interested in coming with the Dolphins before electing to sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. So a lot of people are saying, would it be the worst thing to bring in Le'Veon Bell? And frankly, I saw a tweet. It was posted by Mike PS69NFL on Twitter. If you guys follow Dolphins Twitter, he is a very funny guy on here, very witty overall. And he posted something that I think kind of rings true with the general sentiment that a lot of fans share, that he's not in favor of the move until he signs with the Dolphins. And I think that kind of sums up a lot of people's feelings on this. I'm sure that if he signs with the Dolphins, people will be clamoring, saying that he is back in his elite form. But up until then, people may not be in love with the idea. Overall, if you're asking me, I don't think it's the worst thing. I think adding a guy like Le'Veon Bell here, a guy who has been proven that he could be a good receiving back, who is a very patient style of runner, could be a great running back. Is he as good as he was back in Pittsburgh? You know, absolutely not. He hasn't really been able to capitalize on his opportunities and catapult himself back to that same level. That hasn't happened. But he could be a valuable asset to this team. You have Myles Gaskins currently, who I'm very optimistic about. The coaches seem to be raving just extremely heavily. Omar Kelly is very big on him as well. But He has a ton of pressure on him. He has expectations that are through the roof. Adding Le'Veon Bell would kind of help take some of that pressure off, and I think it would change this running back unit, one that kind of entered the season as one of the weaker spots. It was definitely a depleted unit of this Dolphins team. But if you end up by the beginning of the season with a unit that consists of Myles Gaskin, Le'Veon Bell, Malcolm Brown, and Savon Ahmed, all of a sudden you have a pretty respectable, maybe underrated little sleeper of a group right there. And I will say, I think Myles Gaskin is an overall good back. He has a ton of good traits that you would want in a running back that could lead him to being a workhorse back. And Le'Veon Bell offers a lot of those same traits. I don't think Malcolm Brown is the most talented in this unit by far, but I do think that kind of power element that he brings to the team is almost a necessity, and it will make him have some sort of vital component to the offense. And then Savon Ahmed, who displays great burst, is able to hit the outside with tremendous speed. Overall, I would be very content with this unit with Le'Veon Bell. That's not to say that I think the Dolphins absolutely have to, and if they don't bring him in, that all of a sudden the running back unit is back to being bad. I'm still confident. I really like Myles Gaskin's chances of having an even better season than he did last year, as long as he can stay healthy this year. But overall, Le'Veon Bell here I think would be a solid asset, and it would make this a very talented little committee here in Miami. Now, for the next topic, we had the opportunity to listen in on some of the press conferences with the coaches, and I want to begin by talking about one of the rookies, because there's one rookie on this team in particular, and that's not to disrespect any of the other ones, but it's one guy in particular who's been absolutely raved about, and that's second round pick Javon Holland, the safety out of Oregon. And I really want to emphasize, it seems like all the coaches, especially the ones on the defensive side of the ball, all took an opportunity to offer praise to Javon Holland. And I can't remember an instance where a second round pick was getting this kind of praise this early on in his career. He truly is getting as much positive words as guys like Jaylen Waddle and Jalen Phillips, or maybe even more so. And again, this was a guy who was selected in the second round. So that, of course, raises the question, well, is there even the potential that there was a running back in play for the Miami Dolphins in that second round? Because the way it seems right now, it seems like Javon Holland was their guy all along. And the way they're talking about him, it doesn't seem like they're talking about him as some guy who can eventually be a starter, or some guy who could be a solid role player. They're talking about him like this guy has the potential to be one of the stars in this league. They all clamor about how good he is as a leader, how vocal he is, how much he likes to communicate with the rest of the defense. They really love how he is able to be versatile, whether that's being a free safety or whether that's being a nickel corner. There's a ton to love about Javon Holland, and one quote in particular, defensive backs coach Gerald Alexander said that while he was coaching at the University of California, that he had been absolutely just dying to recruit Holland. They asked him if he was interested in recruiting him. He said, oh God, yeah. That's basically how much he wanted him, but he said that Oregon offered all those shiny jerseys and everything like that, that was just too much for Holland to pass up on. So it really goes to show that Holland may have been that pick all along, and maybe the Dolphins weren't even considering whether it was a guy like Javonte Williams or any of the other running backs that were in play in that second round spot. And it seemed like they have a lot of high expectations for Javon Holland. Now, the next topic that a few of the guys on the offensive side of the ball talked about was the playbook. Of course, the Dolphins now have this system that features a co-offensive coordinator system, which is very interesting. You have George Godsey as well as Eric Studsvill, who are going to be commanding the team. One of the first questions that were asked to both of them was, do you guys know who is going to be the one that's actually calling the plays? And they both said, as of right now, that is yet to be determined how all of that is going to work out. Then they, of course, asked him, well, how was the playbook devised? Are you guys bringing anything from last year's offense? And they said that they're not just going to throw everything away and start from scratch, that they're going to be bringing some of the stuff that they felt like worked over, and that they're going to try to have some continuity in terms of that aspect about bringing what worked over. So that kind of runs a little bit contrary to the report before that said that Myles Gaskin, when he said the playbook is completely different, and it seems like there may be some elements incorporated from last year's offense. So with that in mind, I am expecting there to be, especially at the beginning of the season, maybe some similarities with things that we saw last season, and maybe we don't see as much much of a new offense until after a few weeks, but they wanted to emphasize, especially Eric Studsville, that this is a living document, the way they look at the playbook. It's going to be constantly adapted. They're going to try to find new ways to get guys engaged, find what works for the team, and just overall be able to adapt throughout the course of a season. So that's all very interesting. I'm very curious to see how this will pan out as we get closer to the preseason. And then the last topic that I want to mention here from their press conferences was that several guys, especially on the defensive side of the ball, all alluded to finding ways to stop the Buffalo Bills. And that's very interesting. Defensive coordinator Josh Boyer said in particular that they need to figure out a way to stop the Bills. He said at one point that there is a quote that every loss feels like you die inside. That kind of resonated with him specifically in those losses against the Buffalo Bills. And then Gerald Alexander, when they were asking him about why the team has so many cornerbacks, he said in this league in particular, you need to have a lot of cornerbacks because it's becoming a passing league. And he said, if you look even in this division, you see how much the Buffalo Bills are able to spread the ball around, and they need to be able to stop that. So some people, of course, saw those quotes and said, okay, these losses against the Bills must really be haunting the team. And frankly, if you're asking me, I think it's very good that they are taking those losses to heart, because if you remember last season, those losses against the Bills were particularly rough. In both of those instances, they lost extremely badly. So I'm very hopeful that they're addressing their issues against the Buffalo Bills specifically, because again, they play them twice a year. It seems like that's their biggest problem, and hopefully they can address it moving forward. But overall, guys, that is how I'm going to wrap up today's episode. As always, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can do so. That is at Shady Steven. You can also follow me on Twitter at Via The Source. I do a Dolphins podcast. If you want to check it out and hear more from me, it would be greatly appreciated. Again, that's at Via The Source, V-I-A The Source. If you haven't already, make sure to follow Dolphins Talk on Twitter. That is at Dolphins Talk. And for all your news about the Miami Dolphins, you can go to DolphinsTalk.com. That's where you can stay updated on all the news about the team. Guys, it was a pleasure to be your host. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was your DolphinsTalk.com daily podcast.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.